Please open your Bible with me to John chapter 1, verse 14. There was a little church that was located on the main road at the bottom of the mountain. This road is used by the logging trucks frequently traveling. And as they're coming down from the mountain, these loggers, logging truckers, and they get on the CB radio and talk to each other, chatting away. The problem is that their frequency sometimes get picked up by wireless system in the church. So you can hear their conversation through church PA system. It can be quite a problem. On one Sunday morning, the pastor just about finished his teaching, and he said, "Lord, come help us." Just then, right then, and you hear, 10-4, I'll be right down. See, one of the biggest God's miracles is the Son of God incarnate in human form. That's a fancy theological way to say God became a human. God took a human form, came down to earth, and to be with us. And he did that for 33 years. This message would have been great for the Christmas sermon. But Christmas, let's face it, Christmas is about the celebrating the Son of God who incarnated as a human, as came as a baby in the manger. It's not about tinsel on the Christmas tree. It's not gift exchanging or some people getting drunk, seriously. See, as I have studied this before in previous teaching, the Apostle John is giving us a prologue of the entire book in chapter 1, especially verse 1 through 18. And however, he's summarizing that 18 verse into the 5 verses in this 14 through 18. So that's what we're going to have. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how great you are as we sang, Lord. All the blessings flow from you. Lord, you are mighty to save the people like us, the sinners. Father, you brought us out of the darkness, out of muck and mire, out of the hopelessness, out of the one way to hell. Father, you alone be glorified, magnified for your unending love, grace, and mercy. Now we ask you to illuminate your word through your spirit, that we may comprehend it and change our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray for the President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus, that he may receive your Son as his Savior and Lord. And stop doing what he wants, but rather let him do what you want. And we pray for our troops, especially the ones in Afghanistan and Iraq. Seems like there are more and more of our soldiers being killed and injured. We are asking you to protect them. We are asking you to bring them back as victors, their home, to their family soon. And we pray for the uniformed personnel, police officers, the sheriff deputies, and border patrol agents, and other law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters, especially the ones who attend our church. We are asking you to protect them. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14, please. And the word became flesh, and would you underline next word, dwelt among sinful men dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Like no other religion in the world, our God came down, dwelt among us, among the sinful man and woman. See, the history is filled with people who thought they are God. But only God of Christianity came to choose to be man. You follow me? And if there is any of you who are offended by it because I put Obama's picture in there, let me put it this way. Mao Zedong, he murdered 40 million people. Stalin, he murdered 12 million people. Adolf Hitler killed over 16 million people. And you may wonder why you put president's picture with them. Because since he sworn into the office as President of the United States, he approved our tax money to support abortion clinics around the world. Every 3,700 unborn babies being aborted every day, times 21 months. It comes up to the 2,331,000 babies being killed under his administration by his approval. Now you understand why I put him there? Election is coming up. I'm going to ask you to vote according to your conscience, according to what God says, not according to what the economy says. I was thoroughly disgusted by somebody telling me that Christian, so-called, telling me that economy is good, so he would vote Clinton back into the office. After what happened? Folks, do not vote for the politician who will endorse abortion. Okay? Abortion is a murder. It's a government-sanctioned murder. There's no other way to talk about it. I ask you to underline the word dwelt. This word in Greek is skenao. Skenao. It literally means that to have one's tabernacle, or rather abide or live in a tabernacle. That's a tent. If you were with us when we studied the book of Exodus, you would know that the book, tabernacle in the wilderness while the Israel was wandering around throughout the Sinai Peninsula. Would you put up the tabernacle picture? There, thank you. This is the tabernacle. I forgot the pointer. I don't have a pointer. So, here. See, this outside, outer skin is made out of badger's. It's a dark gray, kind of like this carpet color. Okay? It's a dark. In other words, the outer material, you can change the slide. Outer material of the tabernacle is a badger because of badger skin. It looked like just any other average tent, humble tent from a distance. But once you walk into the tabernacle, you will find it is beautifully adorned with a pure gold and beautiful tapestry. That's a great representation of Jesus Christ. On the outside, if you met Jesus Christ in the first century, let's say we all jump in the time capsule and move to the first century, and if we get to see Jesus on the street of Jerusalem, or Nazareth, or Capernaum, and you would say, well, he's no different than anybody else in this land. He doesn't have a glow. Of course not. He looked like anybody else. See, he was an ordinary-looking man from the outside, but inside he was a fully God without question. Make sense to you? So, we have to understand this. And the tabernacle is a temporary place where the man could meet with God. Since we could not go to God because of our sinful nature from birth, he came to us. Let's go back to verse 14 again. And did you notice the word there, became? Became. Apostle John was very careful not to use words such as was born or was created. John wants us to know that God did not create Jesus out of nothing like he did with everything else, including us, at the beginning of the creation. The Word, who is Jesus Christ, became a man. This is a very, very simple statement, yet it is the most profound statement in the history of mankind. Think about it. Infinity became finite. And invisible now become visible. And eternity was squeezed into time. If that's not profound, supernatural was confined by the natural. See, you see the A.T. Robertson, he's probably the best and greatest Greek scholar in 20th century, said this is beyond the power of interpretation. Apostle Paul elaborated for us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, please. 1 Timothy 3, 16. You know, I think God likes the 3, 16, because in many different places there's good verses in 3, 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16. Are you there yet? All right. And without controversy, great is the mystery of the godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. That pretty much summarizes what Jesus did on earth and going up to heaven. Let's go back to verse 16 again. I know some of you are thinking, are we going to go through the entire book at this speed? We're going to study the book of John until Jesus comes back. Well, we are not in a hurry, are we? Note the word beheld. Note beheld. That in Greek is a theomai. We get the English word theater. When you go to theater, movie theater or the play theater, you watch them and attentively. View attentively or contemplate. It's more than just lunch along you watching them without thinking. You stood, John and the rest of the disciples, while Jesus was in front of them, they watched them every move. They studied his move and the way he lived while he was with them. Can you imagine the whole disciples, all 12 of them, watching Jesus eating falafel, the way he eats? Maybe he started eating from the one corner to all the way. Maybe he devoured like I would do. The falafel is a Jewish traditional dish. There you go. It's a pita bread and stuffed with the salad and sometimes meatball. And then they put this special sauce. My wife, Karen, loves it. You ask her, she'll tell you. She cannot have enough of it. That's not true. I know I'm in trouble, but that's not the first time I get in trouble, right? See the great, or the last. See, the greatest gift from God was God himself, and wrapped in human skin. The Word became Move down to verse 15, please. John bore witness of him, cried out, saying that this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist was actually born about 6 months ahead of Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 36. But he said, Jesus was before me. What is he talking about? It's not about the birth date. It's about the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. Before John the Baptist was ever conceived, Jesus was there. Actually, Jesus is the only person who ever lived before he was born. And some might say, well, that is impossible. And I said, bingo, you got it. That is exactly for human is impossible. For God, everything is possible. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 58. By the way, how many of you guys wants to go to Israel in November, next November? Okay. If you go with us, you will get a fellow Paul. You'll love it. Or you might hate like my wife. You there yet? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, what does it say? I am. You see, the American, as an American, as a Gentile, we don't get that, okay, what's this I am? Maybe it's a broken English. Maybe the Bible didn't write correctly. No, it is correct. It is exactly I am. See, Jewish people understand this without any problem. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, please. Keep your finger on John. Go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they say to me, get it, get this. What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. In other words, I am is his name. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. When Jesus answered the Pharisees in this way, in 8th chapter, Pharisees knew exactly what he was talking about. Claiming himself as God. That's the reason why they picked up the stone and tried to kill him for the reason of blasphemy. You see, the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons says, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Hello? Yes, he did many, many, many times. And this is one of them. So mark in your Bible when somebody knock on your door and Saturday morning and say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Here, get this. If you study the Bible correctly, you knew this is the Jesus Christ and claiming to be God. Jesus is supreme. Then here's my question to you and to myself. Listen. Okay, everybody, look at me. Is he supreme to you? Is he supreme to you? Does he get the first portion of your life? Does he get the first portion of your priority? Each morning, each noon, each night, or does he get the leftover? Instead of spending time with God in the Word and prayer, oh yeah, I'll do it when I have a time. Guess what? You never have a time. Unless you make a time. Maybe you're not giving him first priority when you should. Maybe you're not giving him the supreme position in your life. Maybe you are not giving him supreme position in your finance. When you're struggling with your finance, maybe you should look at your mindset. Is God first in my life? Think about it. He should be first and supreme, first priority in your life. No one knows how you put him in your mind. But God knows. Verse 16, please. And of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace. This is so rich. Grace for grace, and for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see that every human being received a common grace, such as air to breathe, food to eat, health, knowledge, friendship, and etc. But those who are born again Christian, once you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you get to have a different kind of grace in addition to common grace, known as covenant grace. That is salvation and the indwelling Holy Spirit in us and peace that passes all men's understanding and the faith in the midst of turmoil. All of that is covenant grace. Only the believers can have. You get to have everything you need to live in Christian life. It's all supplied by God for free. This is a grace for grace, folks. Grace on top of grace, on top of grace, and then he gives more scoop of grace. It's like an ocean. There is a wave come on to the sand. If there's any blemish on the sand, it wipes away and goes back. And then comes more waves and more waves and more waves. You cannot stop the wave of the ocean. So you have a sin in your life and grace covers, wipes away. And there's more grace comes on. Romans 5:20, please. Romans 5:20. By the way, you cannot wear out God's grace. 5:20. In the second portion of 5:20. But where sin abound, grace ran out. Did it say? What does it say? Grace abound much more. Why does God do this? Why does God do this? Because he loved you. He loved you so much that he gave up his best. You know Hallmark slogan? When you send the very best. Is that how they say? Yeah. God sent his very best. Jesus Christ. Because he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son. By doing so, we get to have eternal life. Jesus died for our sins. Not by good works we do or the fame we might have, only by his grace, my brothers and sisters. Dr. Karl Marx, he is a well-known theologian in yesteryear. I don't agree with some of the theology because he believed in Calvinism. However, he was, without a doubt, he's one of the most profound theologians. One reporter came to him and he asked him, Dr. Barth, out of all the things run through in your mind, what is the most profound thought regarding God? Dr. Barth thought for a couple of seconds and said, and he opened his mouth that said this, literally what he said. Jesus loves me, designer for the Bible. Reporter was expecting there would be some wordy, some profound statement out of Dr. Barth's mouth. But he came up with a simple statement. Jesus loves me, designer, for why? Because the Bible tells me so. Folks, the love of God, the grace of God, so simple, the child can sing and they get it. You understand me? They get it. But it is so deep, so rich, so profound that the theologian can be drowned. Grace of God. We try to complicate it so much that we don't get it. Because we are adults, we are sophisticated. Yeah, sophisticated is a Greek word for that. Folks, just simply believe. In verse 17, John did not suggest that there was no grace under under the law of Moses. Because there was. Folks, each grace, each sacrifice was the expression of the grace of God. What do I mean? He could, if we are Old Testament people, he could kill us for our idolatry, for our sins. But he took our animal sacrifice, instead of saying, instead of killing you, I will take the blood of an animal for your sin. That's grace, isn't it? That's grace. He took the animal sacrifice and said, that's good enough. That's the atonement. And the law also revealed the God's truth. But in Jesus Christ, grace and truth reach their fullness. And this fullness is available to us. Folks, listen. We are saved by grace. And we also live by grace. Depend on God's grace in all that we do. That's how we're supposed to. We can receive one grace after another because he gives more each time, each moment. Now, verse 18, please. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. See, no one has seen God in his pure essence, in his full and undiminished glory. No one. If there is anyone who come close to it, that would be Moses. Even Moses did not see God in face to face. See what he saw in God said, Moses said, I want to see God. I want to see your glory. He said, no, if you see my glory, you'll die. So what he did, he hid Moses in the cleft of rock, and he hid him with his hand, and he passed by, and the only thing he saw was afterglow of his glory of God. You follow? Afterglow. That's the only thing he saw, but he was startled, stunned. Though God is invisible, Jesus revealed God to us because he is the image of invisible God, according to Colossians 1:15, and the express image of his person in Hebrews 1:3. Let's go there. Colossians 1:15, please. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. Who is he? Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. Guess what? This is the favorite verse of the Jehovah's Witness. This, see, is the firstborn. And then you tell, see, that's in Greek, that's a seniority. Not literally bone. Okay? And the Hebrew 1:3, please. Hebrews 1:3. And some of you are thinking, how am I going to know the Greek? Remember I taught you how to go to the Blue Letter Bible? Hello? Are you guys awake? Do you know how to go to Blue Letter Bible now? Okay. Go there. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his Father, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow. That's good. Folks, the word translate, declare, and back in verse 18, give us English word exegesis, which means to explain, to unfold, to lead the way. That's the way we study the Bible is exegesis. Let the Word of God explain to us by itself. Jesus explained God to us and interpreted Him for us. We simply cannot understand God apart from knowing His Son, Jesus Christ. It was a cold winter night. Larry's wife, Beth, took their children to their midweek service. She took them to the church. He was all alone at night, cold outside. See, that Beth has been telling him about Jesus Christ, her Savior. How He came down to earth to die for everybody's sin. Anyone who received Jesus Christ into her, into their heart, and his heart or her heart, will become a born-again Christian, and then he will go, that person will go to heaven. Larry's been thinking, you know, that's good for you, honey, but I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I'm good enough. Almost he had that cocky attitude that God owed him a free ticket to heaven. He even thought that Christianity is kind of for the people who are emotionally weak. He noticed that his firewood is kind of short for night and for fireplace. So he said, well, I better go get some. So he put the jacket on, walked outside, cold. He was walking toward the barn where he kept the firewood. And he noticed under the full moonlight, he noticed there's one lone bird on the bare branch shivering. You know how the little bird shakes? You can see that. And he noticed that, and he said, oh, that poor thing. So he opened up his barn door wide open and turned the light on. And then, hey, bird, go inside. It's warm inside. He tried to communicate with the bird. He motioned, but without scaring off, he became desperate. Come on, bird, it's warm inside. You're cold. You're shivering. Go inside. He said, you know, if I can be a bird, I can communicate to that bird. There's a better place. All of a sudden, it dawned on him. That's what he said. He came a human so he can tell us there's a better place called heaven. Because we couldn't go to him, he came down. He got on his knee and received Jesus Christ in his heart. Folks, knowing Jesus died is history. Knowing Jesus died is history. But knowing Jesus died for your sin, for my sin, is salvation. Are you with me? Let's make one application. The pathway to heaven begins at the foot of Christ. Not by good work, not by your faith, not by your how good you are. Simply coming to Christ. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Don't move around, don't make a noise. This is a very important moment. I think I know most majority of you. In case there is anyone who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it does not matter how good you are. In God's standard, according to Bible, your goodness is like a filthy rag. In our term, it's poopy rag. No good. You cannot make your way to heaven. As a matter of fact, it's insult to God when you think that. Only way you can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He paid the way by the blood of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say yes to Him. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, then you may have eternal life. Raise your hand. Do it now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. While your heads bowed, I'm going to ask you this. Some of you guys walked away from God. You've been playing games. You've been doing your own thing. You're sinning against God, backslidden. You need to come back to God. If you'd like to come back to God, raise your hand. Don't look around, just raise your hand. Including that person, I'm going to ask you, everybody, to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I walked away from you. Bring me back to you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Empower me. Refresh my heart. Fill me with your word every day. Let me have a yearning desire for your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome back to the family of God.